Coinciding with the latest report on sexual violence in Anchorage, various groups battling the problem gathered at a public forum this week to compare their individual efforts and challenges, including those that reach beyond the city. KSKA's Len Anderson reports.
Too many years at the top is the familiar expression for those battling sexual violence in Alaska. According to the latest statistics on rape presented by Carrie Longoria of Anchorage's Health and Human Services Department, the phrase remains painfully accurate.
These are preliminary figures, but right now, Fairbanks is number one and Anchorage is number four.
Those initial figures came from the FBI's 2007 Uniform Crime Report for all metropolitan statistical areas. Both the Anchorage and Fairbanks areas were above Alaska's overall rate, which itself is twice as high as the national average. Longoria had other local statistics.
For those that are 15 years of age and under, from 2006 to 2008, Alaska Cares conducted forensic medical examinations on 2,412 children for an average of 804 cases a year. I've found that amazing.
CARE stands for Alaska Child Abuse Response and Evaluation Services. The municipality's Health and Human Services Department and the Anchorage Women's Commission sponsored the forum. About two dozen Anchorage-based groups and individuals dealing with sexual violence reported on the particular problems they face. The discussions sometimes extended beyond Anchorage. Alan Bailey practices family law. Bailey serves on local and national commissions concerned with sexual and domestic violence. He cited a study concerning Athabascan women in Interior Alaska, appearing in this month's issue of the journal Violence Against Women.
64% of the women in the villages studied reported being assaulted at least once in their lives, as opposed to 22% in one national study, or the commonly accepted percentage of 30% to 35%.
Bailey's reference to rural Alaska seemed appropriate to the group. It wasn't only because of the recent migration of Bush families to Anchorage. The forum participants were fully aware that some sexual violence victims from rural Alaska slip away to Anchorage seeking assistance and perhaps, according to Catherine Andrew, justice.
It's scary out there. How do I report when it's my sister-in-law who's the health aide in my community? How do I report that her brother just sexually assaulted me and I'm bleeding? How do I report it? Because she's just going to tell me to get over it. She's not supposed to, but she's going to tell me that.
Andrew works as a domestic violence program coordinator for the tribal government of St. Paul Island. She's been in the field for about 20 years. If her sister-in-law example was hypothetical, Andrew says the lack of village confidentiality, family or friendship ties to the perpetrator, even the community's protection of the perpetrator, do exist throughout rural Alaska. Those conditions, plus their physical injuries, can bring victims to Anchorage.
People that are assaulted usually get flown off of St. Paul and they come here to Anchorage. They lose their immediate support on St. Paul and they're here in Anchorage, away from family, friends. And if they want to relocate, now they've lost everything else.
Jennifer Meyer supervises the clinical forensic services at Providence, Alaska Medical Center. Meyer described common, long-lasting emotional impacts from sexual violence.
Our patients are more likely to experience depression, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress disorder, and suicide than their non-abuse counterparts.
Meyer suggested all communities need to take a more proactive attitude towards sexual violence. In Anchorage, this is Len Anderson.